Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Colotta, they're a weird mob. I'm here to say you're a weird mob. Reaction to Vossiyoki to
it's
kick off
poor.
This third hour of the program ahead of Cameron Smith. You can have a listen to these texts. Gents, thanks for starting my week by slightly vomiting in my mouth at that Vossiyoki, Jimbo the Dragon of Mascot. Don't ever play the team song of those frauds ever again. Thank you. Baby Shark would have been more fitting. They always get the creamy draw, then fall off in the finals. Thank you for all that reaction to us playing Up Up Cronulla. We are here for Brighton's lawyers, best legal advice going. Their number is 1-800-848-848. But if you've got a question for Cameron Smith, now is the time to put it through. On the Edgewater Homes text line 0457 736 736. Standing by in the studios of the Gold Coast, ladies and gentlemen, the GOAT, Mr. Cameron Smith. Welcome to this Monday.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Going well, Super. Ken. I'm looking at the top of the table here. And I'm seeing Cam's former club, Melbourne, and I'm seeing the club that plays at a ground that you love, Shark Park, Cam Smith. There they are, first and second. They're going well, aren't they, the Sharks and the Storm?
No, they're both going really well. Just looking at their matches so far this year, they've had similar form lines, actually. You know, they've taken care of, a fair few teams outside the eight. They both suffered a loss, actually, to teams sitting sort of a little bit low on the ladder in the same round, boys, in round three. Mm. So the Sharks get beat by the Tigers in round three and Storm lose to Newcastle in round three, but they face each other this week. So we'll get a bit of an indication on really who's going a little bit better than the other this week.
Melbourne Storm on their socials proudly put up there, and, you know, the GOAT is back in the house. You were there on the Gold Coast as a fan on the weekend on Saturday to see the Storm play the Titans. So did you watch with a close eye the actual breakdown of the game, or did you were absolutely in relaxed mode?
Probably half-half, Vossie. Yeah. No, I was actually there with my under-15s boys from the Crumbin Eagles. So, yeah, took the young fellas along, and we got to go down on the sideline in the warm-up, so they got a bit of a closer look at how the big boys do it, particularly with their preparation for their game and all that sort of stuff. But no, I sat up behind. I was up the northern end, so I had a good view of the game. So I was trying to relax a little bit to watch the game. But you just go back into normal footy mode and you start to dissect the game a little bit and analyse it. Just because Melbourne's playing, you know, so it's always, even though I've been out of the game now for a few years, it's still I still. You know, sit on the edge of my seat when I'm watching the Melbourne Storm play. But, you know, they got away with a tough victory. Probably in the end, a fortunate victory. It could have gone the way of the Titans, but they hung in there, you know, to get a tough win.
I made an observation of this game earlier, and we had a text about, Harry Grant was at the referee all night. So we've had this issue running all morning, the referees, Casey Badger, Belinda Sharp, should they be treated with more respect than other referees? But within that was a texter had a claim saying Harry Grant was at Belinda Sharp all night. And I said, no, I want to put that into context. That was because the markers for the Titans were getting away with murder, I thought, for the better part of the night. Harry Grant was just almost, he was just flabbergasted by the end. He ran it, not markers beside, you know, and wasn't drawing penalties.
Yeah,
it's a different issue to female-male referee. But tell me, Cameron, from your days, if you got a whiff early that a referee is keeping the whistle in the pocket, that you can get away with things. Do you then just, is it just open slather? Because I thought the Titans, they've been criticised for being spoilers earlier this year by the Raiders. I thought that's exactly what they were trying to do to Melbourne the other night. Well, and got away with it.
Yeah, well, it's smart play, isn't it? Like, you're always going to push the boundaries. Like, that's a part of playing professional sport. Like, you're trying to get every opportunity or every advantage that you can on the opposition. So, you know, Dez has done a smart thing there, whereas he's coming up against one of the elite dummy halves of the competition. Everyone knows that if Harry Grant runs the ball, or if he's given the opportunity to run the ball, Melbourne are a much more dangerous footy side. So when he's running out of dummy half, he's getting good meters, he's bringing Hughes and Munster and Pappenhausen onto the football, that's when they're at their most dangerous. So if you can try and, I wouldn't say, you know, confuse the referee or you just try and test them out a little bit. And if they're going to let you get away with it, then you get away with it. It's just, that's just the way it is.
Well, there
it's
you not, go. So you're admitting that you would feel out a referee early. You'd just get a lay of the land early and then go for it. Green light.
And I would even say, you know, I completely agree. I noticed that as well. You know, Harry going up to the referees a lot and speaking with, you know, particularly Belinda about, you know, certain things. Obviously, I don't know what he was talking about, but it was because of the markers. And I did notice that as well. You know, they were sort of half standing to the side of the play the ball, but they got away with it. The thing you got to do there as the opposition dummy half, and this is a little thing for Harry, you know, moving forward is, well, mate, stop, don't, go up once or twice maybe, and if you don't get any response, well, you just go back to your side and say, righto, boys, they're getting away with it. Let's start doing that as well. You know what I mean?
Like, sadly, that probably is the solution.
But Vossie, it is. It is.
Yeah,
because
that's what you're getting away with. Yeah.
Because that's just the way the officiating is going that night. Mm. That's the way that the referees are seeing the game. And the referees know, and all the players know, like they can't allow one team to do a certain thing and not the other team. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't penalise the Storm for not being square at marker, but then allow the Titans to do it. So, and they're the conversations that you have with the referee. They're the type of things I used to speak with the referee about. Like you just talk with Blinder and say, look, they're not square. They're not square. Like you're not giving a set restarts. And you say, well, okay, well, if that's the way the game's going to be played, we'll do the same. Mm. And then the referees on notice too.
Cameron, do you think in broad terms, and at the moment in isolation, we're talking about Casey Badger and what happened, but in broad terms, do you think we have a problem in the NRL with respect towards referees across the board? Do you think it's an area that we need to improve on? Do you think things are fine?
Well, I don't see a huge problem at the moment. Like I don't see a problem between, you know, players talking with referees and referees talking with players, particularly referees to players. I find that there's less frustration in the playing group when referees, now at the right time, of course, right? You can't have players coming up the referees at every part of the game, at every stoppage. But if referees give the opportunity to have a quick word with a captain and explain a situation really quickly, then I find that they stay in control of the game more than when they just wave them away and send them back to the line and there's no explanation. And that's what builds frustration in footy teams and in players, is when the players have no idea exactly why a call's been made or you know, why referees made a determination the way they have. But as far as general respect for referees are concerned, you know, I haven't seen anything that's really stood out to me this year. Compared to, you know, years gone by.
Okay. Well, Kev from Camden, was Cam Smith at the game to give Harry some pre-game coaching on talking to the ref?
No, so, he's got Kev, 15, Kev from Eagles.
No.
We just brushed past the Currumbin Eagles. How are they going? I know we're turning left when we should be going straight ahead. The Currumbin Eagles firing under your tutelage, Cam?
Well, we had a bye on the weekend. But we've had the two matches, so we're 1-1 at the moment. So, we're still in a grading process. So in the junior ranks, they have a bit of a grading process in the first few weeks. So, but we're going all right. They matched us up against a team that won the Div 1 competition last year. And they're a quality football side. And, look, we went down by 10. So really happy with where the boys are at the moment. The main thing for me, boys, is it's not about, you know, the wins and the losses and you know, trying to take out a competition this year. It's about these young fellas having a bit of fun and making sure that they're better footballers, right, and they're better young men at the end of the year. That's the goal. Well said, Ken.
Hey, Melbourne 22 over the Titans 20. With injury concerns, though, the Storm. Yes. Ryan Pappenhausen 4-6 with that leg fracture. We saw Suafalongo score that startling try and then pick up an injury as well. Injury is very much a theme of the round. Do you have a take on the current injury toll? Are we shining a light on it more because of the high-profile players who are getting injured, or are there more injuries in the modern game than there were in eras past?
Well, it seems that way, doesn't it? Now, I don't know the exact number. Like, we'd have to find someone that keeps a track of all this stuff. But it does seem as though like we're picking up more and more injuries. Now, is that because of the way the game's played? Now, it's never been faster, boys. The game has never been played at a faster rate than what it is now. And the players are only getting bigger and stronger and more powerful. So that's got to have an impact on the injury toll as well. You spoke about across the weekend, Matty, like the high-profile stuff. You know, we've seen it. Reynolds go down with the bicep injury for the Broncos. Pappenhausen now, which is, that was an unfortunate one. AJ Brimson just sort of come down picking up a loose ball and landed on his leg, which he did fracture last year. So, that's sort of re-aggravated that injury. I think Jerome Hughes is going to spend some time on the sideline.
Yeah,
has that been confirmed
with
the calf issue? So He did that in the first 10 minutes, but he pushed through and played. You got Nathan Cleary on the sideline. He's trying to manage that hamstring issue.
Cam Murray's out
for a significant amount of time.
Captain's coach, big Tino, gone for the season. So many. Yeah. I mean, the side we read out, of the 17 names, it'd win the comp. The sideline stars would win the competition. The salary cap would be $45 million, but it'd win the comp. Question for you, Cameron. Bulldogs fans very happy. So they've kept their spot in the top eight. They now have a match against Penrith. They're sitting on 10 points. This question for Smithy here from Texter 977. Do you think the Dogs can finish in the top eight this year, finally play some finals footy again? Do they have enough to push the teams above them? What's your summation, Cameron, of the Bulldogs through nine rounds? Declare them in or out of the eight. Early crow.
That's going on really early,
Bossy. They weren't in your eight to begin with.
No.
They weren't in your eight. Let's put it, they weren't there. But now from what you've seen, are they better than what you thought? And are they a genuine top eight contender?
Well, I'll tell you what. They weren't in my top eight, but there's probably three, maybe four teams in the bottom eight that were in my top eight at the start of the year as well. So, if they play with that toughness, right, and that tenacity that we've seen from them in a few of their games this year, like they're four wins out of eight matches. So that's not a bad record. But the test is this week. That's the test. So they're coming up against the side running third. And could quite easily be winning the competition. Is Nathan back? Are we hearing that Nathan will play this game?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will. It was the short turnaround that they were most concerned about with Nathan Cleary, the short turnaround to Thursday night.
Yeah, so particularly with Nathan Cleary back, like we've seen what they did to South the other night. South got away to a great start. They scored two tries while they had a player in the sin bin, the Penrith Panthers, but, Brad Schneider, I thought he controlled the game beautifully, but he doesn't do it in the way that Nathan Cleary does. So this is a big test for the Doggies. Now, forget about the result, all the Doggies fans. I'd be more concerned about just watching their performance against the team that, that's won the last three and could possibly go on and play another grand final this year. That's what I'd be focused on. Like, how are they going to handle the pressure that the Penrith Panthers are going to bring? They're not a Tigers. Okay, they're not a Newcastle. They're not a South Sydney Rabbitohs. They're a side that they apply pressure to you the entire match. So I'd be more interested in seeing my team, as in the Bulldogs, seeing how they handle that this weekend, more so than the result. If you get beaten, if you get beaten, you get beaten, and that's just a one-off game. But I'd rather just see how they're going to perform and handle it, because come the end of the season, if they are part of the finals, well, that's they're going to be playing sides that are going to apply pressure
to
them.
It's a dress rehearsal. What if the Dogs win? Man, that'd be
massive.
That'd be a shot there.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Bulldogs fans, I'll
tell you what, boys. That, like, they'll be up for it because they've got a handful of ex or former Penrith people involved, right? Players and coach. Mm. Like Cameron Serraldo was there. He's a part of, you know, a lot of the success that the Penrith Panthers have had over the past few years, and he understands what they're about. So I think that's what he's trying to bring to the Dogs, is you know, a bit of that playing style and that belief and that mindset that they take into footy games. And you can see it starting to build with this Bulldogs outfit.
The whole club. The whole club, Cameron. The 17s were minor premiers. The 19s made the grand final. The under 21s are running second. New South Wales Cup's running second. They're in the top eight in first grade. Things have turned around. Good feel there. Question for, what about this one, Matty? Cameron is at the Titans. This is a hypothetical for you. Cameron is at the Titans on $1 million a year. What pay cut are you prepared to take to play in the Panthers system, semi-finals, and potentially a grand final from Panther Gaz?
From Cameron Fafita, who we've got on the phone this morning.
Cameron Fafita, brother. Over to you. What pay cut would you take? Put it in percentage terms.
Do you need me 12%? To define pay cut for you, Cameron? Do you know what that means?
You've never had a pay cut.
What is what's the reported figure that in inverted commas, Cameron is being paid at the Titans?
Let's say Cameron's reported? On $1 million. Let's do round figures. He's on $1 million. Me. How much less than $1 million would he go to a club that's absolutely chance of winning a title?
Well,
again.
Yes. Well, you got to weigh it up. Like, you got to weigh it up. What's more important to you? Is it your financial situation, or do you genuinely want to win a premiership?
You want to win a premiership, Cameron Fafita? You want to win what pay cut? The question, what are you? Can you hear? Have we got a problem with our line? What pay cut would you be prepared to take? What would you? Well, what is it? Is it 100,000? Is it 200,000?
How much has the Penrith Club got for me? First and foremost.
Well, let's say 800,000. So you're talking about a difference of
200,000.
Is $200,000 a lot for a modern-day rugby league player when you lose half of it in tax, when you have to relocate, when you're living in a more expensive city? So there's a lot in the equation, isn't there, Cam?
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how much have they got?
What am I currently on? Get me Isaac Lee Ute instead. I don't want Cameron Fafita.
What sort of role do they want me to play? Am I going there just as a bit of a role player, or am I a huge part of what they're trying to do too? Because if I'm contributing in a huge way to winning a premiership, well, I've got to be paid the sufficient amount as well, boys. You know what I mean? Penrith, I'll take a pay cut, but if I'm going to be a starter and I'm going to be a huge part of, you know, winning you a fourth consecutive premiership, well, I want to be paid as well. I'm not just coming down here to do all your donkey work and get nothing. And let all the other people get paid.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Well, shut the door.
So I'll come down. Listen, I'm on $1 million. If I'm coming down as a starter and I'm a huge part of your plans, well, listen, give me $750.
Cameron the Goat Smith becoming Cameron the Donkey Fafita.
That's it. Well done. We are here for Brighton's lawyers unable to work due to illness or injury. Contact Brighton's lawyers. More from Cam in just a moment. Calls on the Great Southern Bank open line, and pull up your socks as well.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy this morning. It's Vossie, Matt Russell, and each Monday we are joined by the GOAT, Cam Smith, on the Great Southern Bank open line. 1300 01 1170 is the way you'll get us. The Rabbit from Paddington has dialed in. Rabbit, what do you got for Cam?
Forget about Phil Gould's knowledge. You are the wise one. And my mate suggested this eye for an eye rule. On Thursday night, our fullback got taken out by foul play. That the opposition player got 10 minutes in the sin bin. Eventually, our player had to stay out of the game for the whole game. When that guy comes back on, we get a team call going, nah, we want that guy snubbed out for the rest of the game. Because you know what happened? That guy also scored 2 tries on Thursday night. So I say eye for an eye rule, because he probably gets stood down at the judiciary on Tuesday night. So what's the difference? Eye for an eye rule. Cameron, you wouldn't have liked Pappenhausen getting taken out of the game on purpose. You'd say, okay, that's fine. We get to choose. That player gets taken out for the rest of the game, and then it's 13 on 12.
The eye for the eye rule, Cameron. What's your thoughts? and the rabbit. I'm not a fan. But
no, yes. it's a fair point, and it's a discussion that's I think it's been going around the game for a few years now about players that are taken from the field, particularly around all the HIA stuff now, boys. Like, so if there's foul play and a player has to stay off the field because of foul play, should that the player that made that foul play
commits the act.
He has to stay off the field as well. So I think we're talking Isaac Tungo, aren't we?
Yeah,
hip drop on Gray.
Looking at a 1 week suspension, Cam. So he served that against Canterbury, and what the Rabbit is saying, he should have served it the other day against
his team. Yeah, exactly
right. But can't have the bunker as the bunker can't play judiciary or match review committee on the run. They do play quasi sort of match review committee because they pass on advice to Sinbin, but they can't determine a suspension on the run.
It makes sense.
So
look, I get it. I get it.
And what's a suspension?
Yeah. I get what the Rabbit's saying. It does make a lot of sense, but no, I don't. It's never been that way in our game, and we've played it that way for over 100 years now. So I think, the 10 minutes in the sin bin was sufficient, and it's dealt with post.
Unfortunate that game. What happened to young Jai, sadly. Mm. Lots of texts here about Splinters Smith or Cam Splinters Fifita. Get the splinters out of your Chaminda, Cameron. There we go. They just wanted
a
straight answer.
Blue Emu put it this way. Ask Cameron if someone said, give me 200K, Cam, and I'll guarantee you a grand final ring. Would you hand the 200K over?
Oh, that's an interesting way. Paying the other way.
Am I paying them?
You're buying the guarantee of a grand final ring.
By taking less cash. So what they're essentially saying is, give us the money by taking less cash and we'll give you a grand final ring. He's put a 200K price tag on it.
Yeah, well, I think if you're guaranteed, I think every player would do that, wouldn't they? Well, most players.
Bathurst Bulldog says Cameron Fifita sounds like he would be a destabilising influence at the club. Maybe he should try rugby union. So there you go. So everyone happy with you and your negotiating skills. Now pull up your socks for Underworks. Comfy socks, they are the best. You need the Underworks socks. Who needs to pull up their socks out of the weekend? Do you want to stay in rugby league, Cameron? Anyone in particular? There's a few sides, obviously, and players.
No, I'm staying in rugby league. Oh, I'm going the Cowboys. Pretty straightforward for me. Cowboys, come on, fellas.
Sadly, I've got to go to the Spurs. Fallen off a cliff. Look, two of their last games, of their last three games, are against the bottom two sides in the league. But, hopes of the top four have now flown away, beaten 4-2 overnight. And come on, mate. Strong finish. Last three games. Pull up your socks, Spurs.
I'm going to the Warriors. I thought they were dreadfully disappointing yesterday. Their heads seemed to be in a different place than McDonald Jones Stadium. They were below par significantly. Only three wins for the team that finished top four last season.
And have Roosters and Panthers the next 2 weeks. They play Roosters on Sunday. Jared Waitara-Hargreaves' 300th game for the club. And then they play the Panthers in Magic Round. And the Warriors are sitting on three wins through nine rounds. Wow. Pressure. Cameron, have a great week. It all rolls around. And the captains run on Wednesday, then into the Dolphins and Seagulls to kick off round number 10. Congratulations on what you're doing with the Currumbin Eagles under 15s. And just keep on living your best life.
We'll see you next Monday, boys. Do I get double time and a half today? It's a public holiday here in Queensland.
Labor Day.
Mate, I'm not negotiating with this bloke ever again. He's out. Now he's asking about double. Anyway, out of my office. Don't let the door
boys.
Hit you in the back on the way out. Cameron Smith, the GOAT.
Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. For a couple more days, it's Vossi with myself, Matt Russell. We are powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. And of course, you can also experience game-changing sound with Sonos. Jump on the Edgewater Homes text line 0457 736 736 or give us a call. Great Southern Bank open line 1300 01 1170. Speaking of the open line, we've got another guest standing by after this.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with Michelle Bishop.
Yes, Michelle Bishop. Wow, it's like a smorgasbord of topics to discuss with you on this Monday morning. Good morning, Michelle. But can we start with David Fifita? We haven't spoken much about this this morning.
Can you believe this one? Good morning,
he's going.
Guys.
How do you knock back? I don't know what figure they're going to come up with financially, but if I'm David Fifita and Penrith are coming to get me, I don't know whether I need to think too long. If he's done well financially at the Titans, so he's done well the last couple of years, now I'm chasing a premiership on decent money, but not the same money. I'm going if I'm David Fifita. That's my early shout. Early crow. Dave Fifita to the Panthers. Lock it in.
Well, he's set to meet the Penrith Panthers in the next 24 hours. And look, Panthers CEO Matt Cameron has said that the club would not be doing its job properly if they didn't investigate every opportunity available. Of course they would, but the timing of this, guys, is just absolutely phenomenal for the Penrith Panthers, losing James Fisher-Harris, of course, to the Warriors in 2025 on those compassionate grounds. And look, a lot of people, a lot of fans asked yesterday about the salary cap. Well, they'll have plenty of money. James Fisher-Harris, Jerome Luai, from there to Ruva moving on, so no issues there. Can you believe that? Well, I mean, this wasn't one of those contractual things. It's in his favour. So he's got until Thursday, round 10, so Thursday to take up an option in his contract, which is in his favour. And really poor timing. Look, I was up there. I've done the Titans games the last couple of weeks. And Desi certainly is putting in the effort. He's really building. Obviously, Fifita's coming back from that injury. Desi has managed that. It was the first time he actually started. He's been off the bench the last few games. First time he started on Saturday night. And he really is having a major impact on that side. So it'll be a big, big loss.
And Michelle, I'll pour more fuel on the fire. His partner, Shaylee Bent, the NRLW player at the Gold Coast Titans, she's contracted only for this season at the Titans. And she's a Penrith girl and a Penrith junior. And with Canterbury now joining NRLW, she can come back and live in Western Sydney, play for the Bulldogs or the Penrith team when they join an expanded NRLW. Can you see the pieces coming together here, Michelle?
Lock it in, Eddie. Lock it in, Eddie. David Fifita.
I think they play quite well, and I knew that background, so absolutely. You got to wonder. It's all falling into place for the Panthers.
I think it's going to happen. Now, calls for NRL to back up female referees. Now, we've been talking about it all morning. Some really interesting input from Dane Zorko from the Brisbane Lions as well. Crossing to a different sport. Getting all range of opinions this morning. Michael on the text says, this is what Michael says on the text. Vossie, Matt, Michelle, I was at the Tigers-Bulldogs game on Saturday. I'm not one to vocalise my frustrations or focus on the refs, but I was slumped in my seat the further that game went on. You could feel the match was being affected by the way it was officiated. Now, that would be a commentary, male or female referee. But, Michelle, do we have a problem with the images that come out of the weekend in the present climate?
Look, I'm just going to say I don't think there's definitely an issue with how officials maybe are being treated, but I don't have an issue with this in terms of it being how a female should be treated. There is no special treatment in there. You're in the thick of it. Hey, I've been a rugby league journalist in the thick of that forever and ever since I was 17, 18. Very few female journalists. You don't get treated any different. They don't tone the language down or do anything right across the board, and I'm talking right across the board, not just the players. So in actual fact, from my experience, lots of the players have manners, especially with someone like David Clemmer, worked with them for a long time, had a fair bit to do with John Bateman. It just should be that the NRL needs to back up ensuring all referees are being protected or supported.
Gender doesn't come into it, right? And they're not immune from criticism. And if they're not the top eight referees in the game, they shouldn't be doing a game. But when they don't have a performance that maybe even they are proud of, then you have to be respectful, proportionate and balanced in your criticism of them, like you do any referee, male or female, Michelle. Is that your assessment?
That's it. And look, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. And I hate to use that old term when you read the bullheads on social media. This is where they need to draw the line and get rid of these gooses. Some whackheads got on social media, or a lot of them have, and criticised Casey Badger, saying you need to get back in the kitchen, you dumb so-and-so. Mm. I mean, get a life. Seriously. Aren't we? We've grown up.
Yeah.
That's
right. We can't to the nth degree control the behaviour of absolute D-heads, and that's the case in reaction. One of those, though, actually hosts a podcast for the West Tigers and had the Holman Group as a sponsor. Can you believe that?
Bossy, can I also just add... Can I also just add to this, cast your mind back to, I think it was the Raiders-Titans, the game that she had last time. And in Des Haslam's press conference, he said, I think the word was used towards Casey as poor performance. Now, you know, those words have been used for male referees, female referees have had shockers in the past. Look, do we have to worry about who the sex is and what's going on? It really frustrates me.
But just one last one on it. And now we get the... And I am putting this as a gender discussion. We're getting a female voice on this issue. I, as a male, feel uncomfortable even talking about, like, if a player gets up in front of a referee's face and it is a woman and you're swearing. It just doesn't... There's something about it that's not right. Like, I don't bat an eyelid when it's a male, but I do with a woman. That's just the way I feel.
Sorry, in the heat of the moment, and you're playing the sport that you're playing, you're not going, as a referee, as a female in any part of the game, you're not going into any of those areas, not expecting to be confronted with what life is like. Like, they swear, they're in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Now, the West Tigers, just on the story, Lee Hadji Pantelis, of course, principal of Brighton's Lawyers, our major sponsor, but very strong, strident, the criticism weather of the Tigers. He does not miss.
He has, penned a scathing letter to the club, slamming the independent review that, I guess, led to his demise. He's described the process that brought him down as despicable in the letter. I guess the real point here, a vital paragraph, is that he says he'll also be terminating his $1 million sponsorship. But to Lee's credit, he hasn't, taken his toys and run home. He has literally committed to what he had already committed to in terms of his contract. But moving forward, that won't be happening. He says that the events of December 12, which is, well, do you call it a circus? It was the end of the circus, I guess, because it was going on and on and on all the time through. It was frustrating. They were making headlines everywhere on the radio every day. The club was a shambles. But that has significantly and adversely impacted the relationship of Brighton's Lawyers and the West Tigers. Look, he's a great man, Lee. We all know that. Obviously quite hurt by the situation, very passionate man, but we will have to wait and see how this one plays out.
Now, Michelle, this NFL story is a good one, isn't it? Because there's an Australian heading into rare territory when it comes to the NFL.
I love this story. I got so excited. So he'll be an NFL offensive linesman, I believe. He's from Melbourne. His name is, so remember this one, guys, Lakin Vahey. He's 2 metres tall, so 6'5". He weighs 148 kilos. He is a man mountain. Now, he was on holidays in Hawaii with his parents. A talent scout identified him there just because of his sheer size. Over the last couple of years, this is his background. So he's never played a game of American football. He's been on a mission for his church over the last 2 years. He was stationed in Wellington, spreading the word from the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Started at 9 a.m. every day, finished at 9 p.m., preaching, knocking on doors. Wasn't allowed to train normally or in a commercial gym. So this is where it gets interesting, guys. He went and thought, okay, well, how do I make up weight? He purchased concrete, duct tape and trash cans. Made up his own weights, and he had a whole variety of weights, up to 170 kilos, got himself ready, and guess what? He's going to the Philadelphia Eagles, and he'll play under former Aussie Jordan Mailata. $300,000 is the base salary, not quite the $100 million Jordan's on, but hey, what a beautiful story.
There's a sporting documentary in the making there. We've had special teams prospects and players, but a linebacker at 140 kegs, Vossi, at 6'5". Imagine him running at you. Were you running at him?
Yeah, well, not me. Jordan Mailata's story, from a $5,000 contract at South Sydney to a $100 million contract in the NFL. Pretty amazing stuff. Michelle, you've excelled yourself today. Lots of positive reaction on the text line. Michelle, speaking sense is the S Dragon. Like, as if it's a surprise. You always speak sense, Michelle. We're all entitled to our opinion. We get on our high horse, but you don't have to agree with us, but you've got a lot of support this morning, Michelle.
And Vossi, I reckon Michelle would have been over the moon with Big Tommy Hazelton going in for a try yesterday very quickly, Michelle, because I know your interview with him last week, fantastic.
Goulburn Bulldog product, what an absolute legend. He's just been fantastic for the game. And I want him back on SEN all the time. He was fantastic.
Thank you, Michelle.
See you guys.
Michelle Bishop with Sport there. We are powered by Kubota. Giddy up! The mowers, the tractors, the Land Pride attachments. Our sound system is Sonos. Gives you the best sound, gives you a great experience. Back in a moment with more right here on 1170 SEN.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Ah, absolutely. Let's go straight to Nick Ashman. When it comes to the NRL Premiership, Nick, surely the injuries have had a say on prices over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, Matty. Good morning, boys. Good morning to your listeners. The Panthers, they were dominant on Thursday night. They're now $3. We could be looking at them creeping into the $2 range in the coming weeks if they continue their form. And it must be said, obviously, with the Broncos losing by a decent margin to the Chooks over the weekend, they're out to $5.50, plus they've lost Adam Reynolds for we think about 14 weeks, I think. $5.50 they are now. The Storm still solid around that $6 mark. The Roosters have trimmed up a point off the back of that big win over the Bronx. They're into $7. And then it's out to the Sharkies, who really aren't doing anything wrong, but I take the point that a lot of people are making that they haven't played the big games or the big teams yet. They're $11. But they're $6 to win the minor premiership, and they're also, I think, $1.50 to finish in the top four. They were only $2.60 3 weeks ago, guys. So market's certainly reacting to the informed teams.
Well, the team on top of the table for the last month, still paying double figures to win the premiership. And you're right, Adam Reynolds due back about round 21, round 22, Nick. Now, first thing Andrew Voss did when he came in this morning was start talking about his picks for Eurovision. We're going to have a listen here. We're going to have a listen here to the nomination from Croatia. Let's have a listen to what Croatia is tossing up at Eurovision and impressing the great Andrew Voss. What price Croatia winning Eurovision, Nick?
Well, that's Baby Lasagna, first of all, that you're just listening to. They are off the map, guys. They're $41 into $2.88, Croatia. They've never won Eurovision. They've finished in the top 10 on six occasions. They first entered Eurovision in 1993. It's a massive thing for obviously people in Europe. It'll be staged this Sunday. You will be able to watch it on the TV. $2.88. The mail is that Croatia are over the line. They'll be winning it with Baby Lasagna. And we'll see what unfolds, guys. Could be a big month for them as well, because we've got the Euro football, the soccer, kicking off a bit later in May, or maybe it's early June, actually. So we'll see how things unfold over the next few weeks anyway.
Sorry, what's the name of the band, Matty?
What do you mean?
Well, the Croatian man. You don't know them, Matt. Nick, what's the name of the... Did you say Baby Lasagna? That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, Baby Lasagna. I'm just trying to work it out now. So Baby Lasagna is the name of the band, and the song is called Rim Tim Taggy Dim.
Okay.
It's about a young Croatian who leaves home aspiring to become a city boy. He's from the country, from the countryside, and that's what the song's about.
It'll be in Vossi's playlist in the half hour, Nick. Guaranteed.
Baby Lasagna, Rim Tim Tangi Dim. Nick Ashman, you are an authority on the Eurovision, if nothing else. Thank you.
Thanks, Vossi. Talk to you tomorrow, guys.
Made our day. Nick Ashman from Sportsbet. Get on Baby Lasagna.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.